This morning we're continuing in the book of Proverbs, and we come to the middle of our 9-chapter introduction to the collection of Proverbs which actually follow in chapters 10 through 29. Now, I just can't say this enough. These introductory chapters are foundational to our understanding as to how it is that we read and apply the Proverbs that follow. This introduction itself contains 10 speeches from a father to a son. What does 10 make you think of in relation to the Bible? Solomon's 10 speeches here at the beginning form a decalogue of the foundation of Israel's wisdom tradition. Now, remember that Proverbs, wisdom literature, does not contain law. The language is not thou shalt or thou shalt not. Nor does it contain prophetic speech. There are no thus saith the Lord speeches. The Proverbs actually speak to how to live a life well and how it is that one builds their life upon the moral base and the cornerstones of a blessed life. Wisdom literature, wisdom speaks to probabilities, not promises. That's a very important qualification. In Proverbs, you have, like, I don't know if you did any language study when you were in high school or college, or, you know, you had, trying to learn another language, you learned regular verbs. Is that something that makes sense to you? You got your regular verbs. Well, the Proverbs are the regular verbs of wisdom, of a life that's well-lived. There are, though, irregular verbs in life. And the irregular verbs of that language, the language of wisdom, are explored more deeply in books like Ecclesiastes or Job. Now today, we continue with the 5th, 6th, and 7th speech of a father, this father teacher to a son. And in this decalogue of wisdom, we have this repeated refrain, listen, my son, pay attention. And as we look at Proverbs 4, verses 1 to 27, we're going to be looking at what my father told me, what I'm telling you, and then the son's application, what the son is supposed to do with this information. Before I read the passage, let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for wisdom. And I ask, Lord, that you would give us light and understanding, that we might see this wisdom of a blessed life, that we might see in particularly the one who is the Word made flesh, who is wisdom come down, who is redemption. And Lord, doing that, we will give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 4, verses 1 to 27. This is the word of God. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it cost you all you have, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let it go. Guard it well, for it is your life. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your own way. For they cannot sleep till they do evil. They are robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. This is God's word. So firstly, what my father told me, which is basically this: get wisdom and she will bless you. See, the father, he tells his son, what he is passing along to his son is a tradition of wisdom. It's one that he himself has received. There's this collective memory of a people and of their lived experience of having lived life and learning the hard way and of passing along this wisdom. That's what's included in these proverbs. And in an information age like ours today that has so eroded community structures, right, where this used to occur, we have an incredible need and thirst for wisdom. Most of a younger generation is getting their wisdom from TikTok influencers, right? And not relationships from people that they sit with together, right? As we consider these words of wisdom and the need for wisdom, we need to be a community that cultivates those relationships so that there may be ways to pass down multi-generational wisdom and experience. Question, older men, who are the younger men that you are befriending and investing in? Younger men, who are the older men that you are seeking out for counsel? Older women, who are the younger women that you're seeking to encourage? Younger women, who are the women that you're seeking out as mentors? Now, I think that we enjoy this among our community in a non-structured sort of, an informal sort of way. But many out there, many in the world are cut off from it. How are they to get it? The opening chapters of Proverbs are words of a father who is currently parenting a younger generation. And what does he say? When I look to my father, he says, this is what he told me. Lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. It's a great little speech that follows there. Succinct, it's just the way a father would say to a son. Get wisdom. Wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom, right? It's like, if you want to be wise, get wise. It's like a friend of mine whose kids rag on him for his lack of video game skills. So my friend, he's frustrated, and his kids say, well, get good, right? Wisdom can be yours. You can grow in your ability, but it will cost you, and it'll cost you having to learn. The father of Proverbs is passing along his own father's words, who told him, pay all it takes, it's worth every penny. Make wisdom a loving pursuit, and you will find yourself fruitful in all the right ways. Right? What else does a garland on your head portray? If somebody walked up and put a garland on your head, you might be like, what are you doing? But if you think about what the image is intended to portray, it portrays a tree in leaf that is growing and thriving in flowers, bearing fruit. Your life, the promise is, will be a beautiful life. And secondly, the father addresses his son now personally. He passes on what his father has told him, and now he addresses his son personally. My father told me, now I'm telling you what? Get wisdom. Get wisdom and avoid the way of the wicked. With wisdom, you will have many years and your ways will be straight and even. You won't be tripped up. You won't get pulled back. Wisdom is the way to go. And so hold on to it. Keep it and protect it. The wise way is the way of living a life. The father said, his own father told him, you need this, get this. Now this young man's father explains how the faithless way of getting things is always accompanied by an attempt to take, right? So we have this thing, get this thing that you need. The faithless way is what he begins to point out and speak to. This attempt to take without faith, the attempt to receive blessing without the blesser, without faith, without trusting in the Lord with all your heart is folly. It's foolishness. Because they are trying to get God's gifts without God. Right? If you take what somebody possesses without them, that's called stealing. This is the sort of way or path, right, that an unfaithful getting, where it will lead you. It will lead you far afield, and it will not bring you to a place of rest or peace. Your getting by taking, by robbing, will ultimately leave you restless, right? You'll be wrestling in your sleep and restless in your work, and you will find that you yourself have been robbed of blessing. Right? The wicked, their only consolation, they're the sorts of people whose only consolation is to drag others down with them in their misery. Is that what you want? Right? Nobody sets out to be that way, but many end up there. You are to go a different way. Your getting is through a pursuit of knowing God. You are to be living in the fear of the Lord and seeking His wisdom, right? And these actually show themselves in a capacity in your life, and it is a capacity to receive grace, to receive a gift. See how the Father describes this life in verse 18. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn shining ever brighter till the full light of day. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Can you imagine that? Can you picture that in your head? The course of your life is not going to be a meaningless wandering, but in getting wisdom, it will be an emerging increase of light. Light will give way to more light and to more light. If you set your feet on the path to wisdom and walk the way of wisdom, you will go from insight to insight, ever increasing until you stand under the fullness of light. Right, to be in this place of knowing, even as we are known, is amazing grace. Your pursuit of wisdom, the promise is that it will not lead to disappointment. But you have to be warned that there are scoffers and cynics out there and sometimes in here who will say to you, it will never be what you'd hoped. get this, life in Christ may not be what you thought, but if you give yourself to Jesus, it will always be more than you hoped. Life in Christ may not be what you thought, but in the end, if you give yourself to Jesus, it will be more than you hoped. In his wartime sermon, C.S. Lewis preached at in Oxford, a sermon called The Weight of Glory, and he had this to say about people who were living ordinary lives, kind of with ordinary wisdom, these people, these Christians with whom we come into contact. And he has this to say about the community of people who are pursuing that walk of wisdom together. He says, there are no ordinary people out there or in here even. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal, and their life is to ours as that of a gnat. But it is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. They are either immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. This does not mean that we are to be perpetually solemn, though. We must play. But our merriment must be of the kind, and it is in fact of the merriest kind, which exists between people who, from the outset, have taken each other seriously. No flippancy, no superiority, no presumption. And our charity, right, our serving, our charity must be a real and costly love with deep feeling for the sins in spite of which we love the sinner. No mere tolerance or indulgence which parodies love as flippancy parodies merriment. Next to the Blessed Sacrament, next to the Blessed Sacrament itself, your neighbor is the holiest subject or object presented to your senses. Step out. Why is that? Because they are made in the image of God. If he is your Christian neighbor, though, he is holy in almost the same way as the sacrament. For in him also Christ veri latitat, which I love how he just quotes Latin like he expects us to know it. Just kind of rolls off. Which is, in him also Christ really hides. If you're a Christian, Jesus by his Spirit dwells in you and is present in you. And that is true of the person who is a Christian that you're sitting beside. That person, right, in whom the glorifier and the glorified, glory himself is truly hidden. There are no ordinary people, right? This community in which we're called to live, right? This possession of wisdom is what marks the eternal splendor, and we shall become either the immortal horrors to which we will devolve or become these eternal splendors to which we have been destined. Right, the wicked fool, he says, goes from darkness to darkness. They stumble around not knowing where they're going, nor what the meaning is or the purpose behind anything that they're experiencing is. They stumble. They have no capacity for comprehending the foolish thing that they've done and the consequence that comes with it. They are morally blind, and in their confidence, they speak of things like community development, and then they undermine the very community by their assertion that they can live however it is that they want to live without thought of who God is and do whatever it is that they want to please. And when anyone tells them that they can't have what they desire, they burn the neighborhood down. It's like rioters in an elite university who, while promoting socialism or Marxism, trash their campuses. And when they've had their adrenaline rush of riot filled, they leave those trash places to the hourly waged low-class workers to clean up the mess that they've left behind. Do you see the irony there? Do you think that they ever put two and two together? Get wisdom. Avoid the way of the wicked. You've heard the grandfather's words. You've heard the father's instructions. Now let me just wrap up with the son's application. How do you get wisdom? Verses 20 to 27, the father leans in and he gives some pointed instruction to his son. He says, first things first. Okay, first things first. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. You are tempted to guard your hearts in lots of ways. You are tempted to guard your heart from disappointment, from failure, from rejection, from the lack of provision, from pain, the lack of comfort. The author that I previously quoted has this. He says, if you're going to pursue this life to which God has called us, right, you're going to invest yourself in life. You're going to pay the last penny for the wisdom that he provides. There's no safe investment, he says. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly be broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully around with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of your own selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable. Impenetrable, irredeemable. The alternative to tragedy, or at least the risk of tragedy, is damnation. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all of the dangers and perturbations of love is hell. If you are to get wisdom, you have to open your heart to God and become vulnerable to Him. Love will not protect you from grief. It most likely will assure it. But if you open yourself to the love of God, you will shine like a star. Second, he says, to get wisdom, put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Right? Up towards the road here at our church building, by the church sign is the town's incoming water supply. And there's something that I learned a couple of years ago that's called a backflow prevention assembly. I could have gone my whole life and not known that there was such a thing. The backflow prevention assembly is something that is required by our county water, our city water. But it's a combination of valves that keep gray water or used water from the church from backing up into the city's clean water supply. You think about it, water should always be flowing in one direction, okay? But it can flow backwards. That's what's happened up in the mountains. That's why there's no water, right? That flow has been turned upside down. And not only can it back up into, say, a house or a church, it can back up into the clean water supply, and all of those things are very, very bad for the community. The town requires that we have this unit, this assembly, at our water supply. And the father, he's describing to his son the backflow issues of the human heart. Your mouth is a backflow prevention assembly. Not only can it reflect the good that issues forth from the heart, but if it malfunctions, it can backflow and pollute your heart. Third, he says, get wisdom. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Right? If the father teacher were of our generation, and if he were teaching us to do something like, say, hit a baseball, or kick a football, or a soccer ball, or strike a golf ball, he would say to us, keep your eye on the ball. Now, we're going to talk some more in chapter 5 about what reflects a heart that is loving and what it should, that is loving what it should and is functioning as it should. But let me just say that many of our problems, they begin right here. You have little or no control about what's going on out there or in the news or on your social media feed, what others say about you, or even, sadly, what happens to you. But an unhappy person is not going to magically become happy simply because their circumstances have changed. Why is that? Because they have given themselves to a desire of their heart rather than to the God who can give them the heart of all that they desire. The heart, right? Our hearts is the spring from which joy flows. It is in the heart that we experience gratitude. It is the heart that experiences love and integration and peace. Therefore, entrust your heart to the Lord who actually loves you. As I said, next Saturday we're going to look more closely at the heart. It is one of the racier passages in the Bible, certainly in Proverbs. And if you haven't read it, I would encourage you to do so because your kids are going to have questions. And I'm giving you fair warning, but I hope to explain it. I've actually preached on it before, but I'm hoping to explain it in a big picture way that not merely kind of reads how it reads on a first kind of cursory level. But until then, we need to do first things first. And that is, we need to get after it. And what is it that we need to get after? Get wisdom. Wisdom.